do that again. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Outstanding. There you go. I'm hard of hearing. Not really. Doctors approved it. Listen, how many of y'all paying attention to what's going on in the news in Asbury? Revival. Do you know what started that? Hungry people. Asbury's not Mecca. Why? And that's what I'm afraid is going to start happening is people are going to think, well, we got to go to Asbury. We got to bring it back to our church. It don't work that way. It works when people are standing here lifting their hands, praising God, humbling themselves, singing praise to God. Revival breaks out then. You can go get caught up in the feeling, but it's more than a feeling. It's a change in your life. And I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, revival is what has changed my life years ago. Not that I ever doubted God existed. Sometimes I doubted his love for me, even though I knew Jesus Christ died for me, and he would have died for me even if I was the only one. But it hadn't gotten from here to here and became revelation. And when we start seeking God like that, I'm going to tell you right now, there will be standing room only because people are hungry. But they can do it in their own churches. And if the word of God is not being preached, if people are not being allowed to praise, the Bible says he inhabits the praises of his people. That's where he lives, ladies and gentlemen. That's why you feel the presence of the Holy Spirit here today. You didn't get the goosebumps just because, oh, that's a nice song. No, it's the power of God moving, stirring. Hallelujah. I was back here thinking on that song, Through It All, as I just stood there and I thought, God, you have never let me go through it all by myself. That's what it means. You have to go through it. You got to get to the end of it, or you get to repeat it. That's why I made you shout hallelujah again. You didn't go all the way through. You didn't finish it. I want to wake the dead. I want to shout hallelujah before the stones cry out. Before the trees start clapping their hands. We came in here yesterday morning, right? Came in here yesterday morning. You know what was sitting on the peak of this building? Two blackhead buzzards. Now a lot of people would have said, ooh, that's an omen. Go take your witchcraft and go elsewhere. They're looking for a place to nest. But they ain't going to find it here. But we looked at it and we're just like, eh. We also have doves that set on the building too. So, on that note. But through it all, God's not going to leave you there, folks. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians that he will not let you be tempted more than what you are able to without providing a way. He's provided a way. But you're going to go through it. I don't want to repeat tests. I had to repeat 11th grade English. That was bad enough. Still didn't learn anything. That's evident, isn't it? Or as I should say, ain't it? Did anybody else have to write the sentences that said, ain't isn't in the dictionary? I don't know how many sentences I wrote. I'm going to tell you what. Right now, I praised God the day they put ain't in the dictionary. Praise God. Well, we have a... Where are you, Michelle? Michelle has something she'd like to share.
I wanted to share
hallelujah.
You know, I don't think we need a ramp. We've been like moving in the building a ramp, and so the doctor said it's a miracle for her to be walking.
Yeah.
She's good progressing, and we praise Jesus and God for that.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, when was her baby born?
November 30th.
Okay. So she's been fighting for her life since November.
Yeah. And
when was the first time she got to see her baby? You mamas, think about that. Praise God. We serve a good God. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Well, let's bless the tithe and offering this morning, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, we come before you in that mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for what you're doing in people's lives, healing, showing them how much you do love them. Father, wrapping your arms around them when they have no other hope. So, Father, we thank you. We honor you, Lord God. And, Father, today we present our tithe and our offerings. Receive it as holy, Lord God, as separate. May it be a sweet smell to you, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated, and Super Kids are dismissed. All right. You know, we've been watching God work in people's lives now for 21 years as pastors. I've been at this thing for 44. But I'm watching now more and more as people's lives are being impacted by the Word of God as they step out in faith and they trust God. People from every denominational background. God doesn't see denomination. He sees your faith. You may not be used to this. I know I've had people come in here and they were just floored. Other people who were like me were like, yeah, an electric guitar, played like an electric guitar. God is ready to move. Are people ready to be hungry? Or are we seeking a show? I praise God for every person that's getting saved at that Asbury revival. I praise God for every, and most of them I'm seeing are young people. I can call them young people because I'm old enough to be their daddy. Their lives are being impacted like never before. I have to say that possibly this generation has been one of the generations that God has been left out in their upbringing. And it's sad. I remember about 2 years ago, had some little boys out here playing. I had to stop them from trying to climb the rock wall out there. But I said, you can play in the driveway. But if you fall, you're going to get hurt. And they said, well, what is this? Is this like a school? I said, well, it's a church. The one little boy says, what's a church? We need to be the people of God. We need to represent God in every aspect. As teachers, as educators, as coaches, as workmen, as managers. As the person standing in the line at Kroger. I can't tell you how many times I see people just go high into the right on the most stupid things. On people that can't change anything. Poor Sydney. She works at Kroger. We're living in a day and age where they don't want you to know about God. They don't want the truth about God to come out. That, you know, he loves you. He wants to be a personal Savior. We got away from, well, it's a personal thing. And we thought, well, I got to go out and I just got to hit everybody up the side of the head with the Bible, right? I remember those days. Like I said, I've been around, I've seen things for 44 years. I've been baptized into I don't know how many churches when I was a child. Church of Christ. I think it was a Baptist church over in Mount Vernon. And I've watched some people move on with God, others just don't. Because we were taught, you got to get out there, and it's not a personal thing. Let me tell you right now, your relationship with Jesus Christ is very personal. Just like my relationship with my wife is personal. There are things I don't tell you. And it's none of your doggone business. I probably share too much, as she would possibly think sometimes. Just shut up. But that's how God has anointed me to be able to share with you. I'm fallible. We're all fallible. And when we think we're not, then we're going to fall. But our relationship, we forgot to build our personal relationship. We forgot to pray. People forgot that they can talk to God. That's why the song, it's by Rodney Atkins. It's the one that the little boy prays. Yes. Outstanding song. Why more Christians aren't listening to it? Oh, but that's country. It's not on the dove or sparrow market. Who cares? Who cares what the record company is? Because the song he talks about, if you've never heard it, well, as a father, it really hits, obviously. But the little boy is praying that night. And he says, he starts talking to God like he's talking to a friend. And he asked his little boy, he said, where did you learn to pray like that? He said, I've been watching you, Dad. See, if all we ever do is come into church, if this is the only place you're praying before your meals, you are missing out. I talk to God all the time, and you know what? He talks to me. Not always in a way that I have heard a voice. And no, I don't hear, I'm not schizo, I'm not hearing voices. God will never tell you to harm anybody. Ever. But just yesterday, ended up, we had a fitting bust underneath the stage here. The water meter is underneath there. And Michelle heard it hitting it. She heard it spraying. And I was like, do I call Tim? And it turns out I should have. He passed her on the way out, but didn't know anything about it. And I was like, So I came, and I was like, well, I know what I got to do. And I was like, I'm going to have to go to Marion because they used a cheap fitting, and that's why the fitting busted. And I was trying to get a piece of pipe off to try maybe splice something, and this whole section came off, and I had it in the vise in there in the maintenance office, and I'm working on it, thinking, I've got to go to Marion. I just got back from Marion, but I've got to go back. And the Holy Spirit says, look again. You have everything you need to fix it. And I stopped. There was a quality fitting. And the piece, the short piece on the other side, was the exact length I needed. That is not the first time this has happened. It was exact. And I'm trying to cut this other piece off with rusted up hose clamps, which I despise that type of plumbing. It's lazy. That's all I could say. I didn't put it in, FYI. And the Holy Spirit, just like that, showed me, and I'm like, Holy Spirit, I did not see that. I did not see that. I come in here and put it in here, and I'm just, I said, Lord, thank you. But you know what happened? I've been talking to God like he's my friend. And my friend spoke to me. He told me what to do. You know, it's kind of like, you know, you're working on something. You know what to do. A lot of us, if you're working on your car, or you're working on your house or something, and you just can't figure it out, and then somebody else comes along and says, why don't you do that? And you're like, really? I've been fighting for this for 4 hours, and it's a 5-minute fix. That's the Holy Spirit. That is your Holy Spirit. That is not the message. Just a bonus. Something God has, and this is kind of a reoccurring thing, and I want you to understand this is how much God wants it. You want revival? Then you better start thanking him for it. 1 Thessalonians. Let me get my thing out. It seemed to be working, so we'll try it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14. It says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. This is to you and me. People think, oh, it should be just the preachers. No, this is an exhortation to the church, the body of Christ. That last part, that is the hardest one, isn't it? To be patient with all. By the way, that includes your children. Especially your children. Because they see your flaws more than anybody does. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone. Now that one can get a little... Somebody harms you, you want to harm them back. It's human nature. But Paul says, do not do it to anybody. Do not wish evil on them. Wish God's mercy. Because you need to understand something. The world is trying to change what God has called, he called it seed time and harvest. Sowing and reaping. The world is, I mean, people get bent out of shape. Well, it's called karma. Same principle, just different language. What goes around comes around. Whatever you want to say, it's the same principle. It's in the earth. It is a natural occurring thing. Bob plants a seed in the ground this spring. Guess what? It's going to come up. The seed that Dave plants this spring is going to be harvested in the fall. Everybody has a seed you're planting. The most valuable ones come in the form of words. They will come back to haunt you. I actually watched, we watched Top Gun Maverick again last night. That's a good doggone movie. I mean, for a remake of a continuation, really good. And there was at one point, Maverick's words came back to haunt him. It's the pilot. It's not the plane, it's the pilot. And he even had just used those words not too long ago on the guy who told him this. But the guy took it the other way. Whether he meant it or not, didn't matter. Do not render evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. Here's a big word, yourselves. It is a big word, isn't it? But it's one that the body of Christ quit teaching years ago because, well, it's selfish to seek the good for yourself. You need to always put other people first. If you're sick, if you're poor, if you're tired, how can you help anybody? Can you help anybody? You can't. You can't do anything for anybody else. Somebody comes across, you know, man, I tire just chewed up. I got to go to work. I don't have a good spare. You're like, well, ain't nothing I can do for you. I don't have good tires either because I don't trust God. Be blessed. Or we walk around and say, well, I'll just do as Peter and John did as they were on their way to pray And this lame man reached out his hand and asked for an alms. Y'all remember the song? If you were in church in the 80s, you remember the song. And Peter replied, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." Peter just wasn't carrying the money bag right then. But the guy needed something, and Peter had something better. It was not a good idea for the church to teach to be poor. Because if the people are poor, the church is poor. The church can't help anybody. Bad teaching. And seek good for both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always. That's a hard one to do, isn't it? It's hard to rejoice. You know, one of the things that I got out of this, I showed Phil this morning. I said, one of the things I got out of fixing that pipe yesterday, these two great big chunks of skin missing off my thumb. Let me tell you what, they are raw today. Especially with hot water, it feels like battery acid being poured into it. You think I'd have put a Band-Aid on it, but it's me. If you know me, it would normally be electrical tape. Pray without ceasing. It doesn't mean you're walking around praying all the time. I'm going to pray for you, pray for you, pray for you, pray for you. And then go to the store and say, I'm going to start praying for you. It means be ready. Be willing to pray. You know, I was at a minister's, it was actually a fast. And there was probably about 25 of us preachers in there in this room talking with this pastor. And we were talking about praying. And, you know, I was still going through some things with some people that I was trying to help. And I just got to the point, I was like, I'm going to go shower. And the Holy Spirit rose up in me and I began to pray in the shower. And boy, I'm going to tell you right now, when I did, the burden lifted. The weight that I was feeling lifted off of me. And I knew it was going to be okay. I still had some garbage to go through, but I knew it was going to be okay. And I shared that. And the lead pastor didn't. He's like, you prayed in the shower? Now, I don't think he thinks you can't. I think it was being rhetorical. Because a lot of the people think that you have to go to your prayer closet to pray. Or you can't pray unless you're up here. People, I spend more time praying in my wood shop. Getting splinters and dust in my eyes. I spend more time praying there. Or praying going down the road driving my truck. And this time, I'm not praying that my truck won't break down. That's a good feeling. But I remember the days, Lord, please, please, I just need to get from here to there. I just need to get to the gas station. I got $5, Lord. $5 will get me at least home. Pray without ceasing. Always be ready. In everything, give thanks. Now, this is the one where people... I have heard the message taught, and I think it's wrong. You just had a blowout. Give thanks that your tire blew out. You just got cancer. Give thanks that you've got cancer. Give thanks for the evil that has befallen you. Lord, I thank you. There's a new tire. Forget a new tire. There's four new tires, because if one blew out because it was wore out, good chance the other three are about to go. And I'm going to tell you right now, I have driven on racing slicks that didn't start out racing slicks. I know people that have been given a cancer diagnosis. They had to go through things, but they started thanking God for their healing. They thanked God for his mercy in their life. They began thanking God not for what the evil that was upon them, but for what goodness God was about to bring in them. See, whenever we would pray, I always try to end my prayer. If I prayed for something, I thank God for their healing. Just like this Katie. I've never met her, I don't think. But we started thanking God for her healing. even when she was unable to even comprehend really what was going on in her body. Last thing she knew, she'd given birth. Next thing she knows, I'm fighting for my life. We began to thank God. And I praise God for this report. But God's not done in her life. You know, Harold, things happen. I mean, dental tools come flying off in his mouth. Thanking God that he was healing him. So folks, it's we thank God for what he's about to do. See, a set aside in our life, something that knocks us back just a little bit, is an opportunity for God. A situation not going as quick as you thought was an operation for God. Start thanking him for what he's about to do. Thank him for what's happening. For what's about to happen. And remember, he's not going to let you go through the temptation alone. He'll carry you through it all. But you're going to have to go through it. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It's the will of God that you thank him. Lord, I don't understand this situation. I know we've all got a situation in our life. God, I don't understand what's going on. This was a shoe-in. This was a sure thing. What is going on? You know what? Lord, I don't understand. But I will hold on. I will thank you that you're moving in my life. Your job? Quit complaining about it. Start thanking God for the new one. Or better yet, start thanking him for what he's doing in it. And you know what? Maybe there's people in there whose lives you're helping. Did you ever think about that? You know, when I went through boot camp, it was honestly for somebody that came from a house where, you know, we really weren't allowed to call each other names. We weren't allowed to be mean to each other. And then all of a sudden, I'm on a bus and I heard every name that I've ever thought of. And then a few. Marine drill instructors are especially cruel. They pick on physical ailments. Things that you had happen. We had a kid who had born with a soft spot. Reversed. He had a lump on his head. They called him Dinosaur Boy. Sounds cruel, but I'm going to tell you what. Wise bro, he didn't let it stop him. Because he knew what it was doing. They called us names to develop the discipline that we didn't just jump out and reach for somebody. Because it could get us killed. But that 13 weeks of boot camp was difficult for all of us. There were days I thought of breaking my leg again. I thought, surely the third time they're going to say, yeah, you're no good to us. And then there were days that guys were just, they were like, I don't know if I can do this. I'm going to hurt myself. And I would talk to them and encourage them. We're all going through it. Don't give up now. We're halfway through. And that's what we all have to do. I've told you the story many times of the man I know lives in the neighborhood who was going through ranger training. And he and his buddy were going through it, and his buddy just said, I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm quitting. I'm ringing out, Charlie. I'm ringing out. By the way, guy's name's Charlie Hudgel. Some of you know him. He said, tell you what, give it another day. I'm feeling you. I'm in the same boat. He said, give it another day and we'll quit tomorrow. A couple days later, guy would remember how bad he hates it. I'm going to quit. And Charlie would talk him into another day. Just wait. The man retired a major in the U.S. Army and head of that school. After 30 years. And by the way, they went through Korea and Vietnam together. Two guys that knew what war was. So you need to understand, people that think, well, I don't need anybody, that's a lie from the pit of hell. You need somebody. Somebody that you can call. And they can encourage you. Somebody say, hey, you know, I'm going through it. Pray for me. You don't have to spill your guts about everything. Sometimes it's better off that you didn't. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Life and death. Blessing and cursing. You speak life, which is thankfulness. Being thankful for the things that you've got. But the second you start complaining, complaining is death. You need to understand that. That's why God despised it in his children. They got food, they complained about it. Growing up, we were never allowed to complain about it. We weren't allowed to be picky eaters. Wasn't allowed. I can't tell you how many pots of pinto beans I ate. I don't eat them very often anymore. Growing up, I didn't like my mom's chicken and dumplings. I don't know why it always smelled so good. And I wouldn't try chicken and dumplings for the longest time until I realized mom didn't let her biscuits bake enough in there. It was dough in the middle. And so we were out somewhere and I ordered chicken and dumplings. She's like, I thought you didn't like chicken and dumplings. I said, Mom, I love chicken and dumplings. It was yours. So the dumplings weren't cooked. Well, I didn't know that. But I wasn't allowed to complain about it. Wasn't about to say, Mom, these aren't good enough. You know, the hairbrush, that wooden spoon, or maybe a flip-flop. So I learned not to complain about my food. That doesn't mean I like everything. You can ask my wife. I'm like, I'll still tell you right now, kale, y'all that eat it, more power to you. I just ain't doing it. I don't have to anymore. There are certain foods I don't like, and I won't eat. But I won't say I don't like it if I've never had it. I used to say, well, I don't like sushi. I never tried it. And that garbage over at Hong Kong Buffet, that's seaweed. I tried some one time. I was like, okay, that's not as hateful as I thought it would be. If I have my choice between a steak and sushi, ooh, all day long. But the power of our words. And Proverbs says, and those who love it will eat of its fruits. If we love that power, it's thankfulness, folks. Proverbs 12:13 says, the wicked is ensnared by the transgression of his lips, but the righteous will come through trouble. If you're in trouble, don't complain. Start thanking God for the way out. Give him the glory. Lord, I don't know where this path is leading today, but I can promise you it's going somewhere good. Do you know what it took, ladies and gentlemen, for liberty in this country? It took war. It took for people doing without certain things, food even. The troops losing toes, freezing, because they didn't have boots. That's what it took. And while they may have been grumbling and complaining, we weren't technically supposed to grumble and complain in the military, but you know what everybody knows? You do. I'm going to show that lieutenant what's wrong. No, you're not. You're going to go fall back in line and do as you're told. And even when I became an NCO and I'd have young boots, they were right out of boot camp and Motor T school. They'd come in there and they'd say, oh, this stupid Marine Corps. I looked at them. I said, did somebody else sign that contract or was that you? Pretty sure you're the one that signed it. So shut up. And the one person who was the worst, I don't know how many times I told him to zip it. I didn't want to hear his grumbling. And mind you, he just started his tour and mine was short. He retired with 20 years and kept the same haircut that I gave him. I accidentally cut his flat top too short. We had to shave it. He wore a shaved haircut the rest of the time. Works good for your gas mask, by the way. Proverbs 13:3, he who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. Blowing off, I'm just a person who speaks my mind. Shut your mouth. The mind is at war with God. Your mind does not like God. It's what the Bible also calls heart. In the beginning in Genesis, when we're reading through there, and the Bible says that God looked down and he saw man's thoughts were always on evil. His heart was always evil at that point. We have it today, but we call it, I have free speech. Yeah, we do. Use that free speech to speak life. Quit complaining about things. Zip it. If you want blessing in your life, shut your mouth. Just shut it. Don't say anything else. There's every husband in here knows what I'm about to say is true. There comes a point when you've been locking horns with your wife and you can see she's lost that loving feeling. And, you know, it's not necessary. You can see not the angel on her shoulder talking, but the devil. Wrap him up in a sheet tonight and use a ball bat. No, there's a time every... I should have shut up 10 minutes ago, shouldn't I? I went too far. And that's the same look that even in that movie, Top Gun Maverick last night. Even when Maverick was trying to get Rooster to understand, he said, it's not the plane, it's the pilot. And Rooster took it one way, and he actually meant it another way. But he should have shut up because he wouldn't develop the skills, the people skills that he needed as a captain. He wouldn't do it, and eventually he started getting it. So if you want life in your situation and you can't speak good things, what did your mama teach you? If you can't say nothing good, don't say nothing at all. Isn't that Thumper? Didn't Thumper say? Yeah. Thumper, an animated rabbit, knows to keep his mouth shut. But we, particularly as Americans, because I have never known a time without liberty. Never. And honestly, I kind of got the idea of what it cost, but it was until I helped pay the price that I realized what it actually cost. I knew people that died. They weren't from combat. And I really understood it when my brothers went. It costs. And they both lost people in their units. And they bear the scars. So when you're out and you're thinking, well, I have the freedom to say this. Sometimes you don't need to speak. Assess the situation. A lot of people, this one gets me. People have never done a thing to help serve their country. I'm showing my liberty, my freedoms. Let's see, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4. I know 4 veterans are active type duty here. Is there anybody else that I'm missing? I don't think so. So at least 4 of us in here. Did you not give up your freedom of speech? Your freedom to roam? The freedom to go out at night by yourself? Oh, yeah, 5. There is 5 of us. I knew there was one more. He was just sitting there. He camouflaged. You gave up freedom for freedom's sake. Ladies and gentlemen, sometimes we need to do that. We don't always have to voice the opinion. Remember what Paul said first. Pray without ceasing. You start praying. Just start praying. You don't have to stand up. Hold on, y'all. I'm going to say a prayer. Y'all need to be quiet. No. You know, years ago, Angela and I were on a flight. Everything was still down here at Port Columbus. We were getting ready to taxi, and this two-year-old, was it two? Maybe a year and a half. Younger than two, started crying. Now, if you've never been on a plane or trapped inside a metal tube with a baby that's crying who's not happy, you think crying in your house is bad? Then you got the grumblers. I wish that baby had shut up. We just held hands and we started praying. That baby settled right down, went to sleep for the rest of the flight. And didn't wake up until we started to land. And didn't cry again. And the whiny butt that was sitting across the aisle shut up. Now, I could have exercised my right. Shut up, you moron. Where do you think that would have got me? Like I said, I'm still growing on things. Like I said, the Marines put things in my head that they're just hard to get out. But the Holy Spirit said, y'all don't go complain about it. Just start praying. Problem fixed. Wonderful flight. You have destruction. James. James had something to talk about our speech as well. James chapter 3 and starting verse 5. We're going to hit a few different ones. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. Now, obviously, if you've never read James, I highly recommend it. He's talking about your tongue. Tiny little member. He talks about it, the rudder on a ship. By comparison, you know, to us, you know, that rudder may seem huge. By comparison to the ship, it's tiny. But yet, it can take that ship and move it all over the ocean. How about our tongues? What's my right? Shut up about your rights. Until you understand it's your right to keep silent. By the way, if you're ever arrested, attorneys recommend you just exercise that. Plead the fifth and shut up. They said, just don't say anything. I watched enough of those audit. I had to stop because I'm like, okay, that's overstep and you're a moron. So I'm like, oh, got to back off. But he's saying, the tongue is tiny. Verse 6, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. Iniquity is sin. How many fights have been started over words? Nearly every fight. If you think I'm kidding, the first murder was over words. Because God said, if you do good, will I not accept you? And Cain took it out on the wrong person. Cain should have went back and talked to God about this, but instead he attacked his brother. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. The fires we start with our tongue are not from God. We're not talking revivals. We're talking dissension. We're talking wars. I firmly believe in defending our country. But I also know it's not God's will that we should be killing each other. He doesn't want us killing. We're brothers and sisters, even the Russians, the Chinese. But I promise you, they violate our borders. They ain't getting the preacher. Verse 9, With it we bless our God and Father. Our tongue, the same tongue that can start wars. With our tongue we bless God our Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. You know what kind of person you really are? I've had to check myself so many times, it's not funny. And for those of you, well, you've just never really, I've got a brother-in-law who's in prison for attempted murder. We tangled. And I had such hatred for him. I wanted him dead. I know from what he came from. He never stood a chance. And I pray for him. And because he's in that prison, we have helped support a ministry that is taking the gospel into that prison. So, I got over my hatred. I got over some things. And I now know I have to speak life. I can't complain about him. Because if I do, then it's only death to me. My words aren't hurting him, they're corrupting me. Just like unforgiveness. Verse 10, out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. You can't complain about one thing and then say, oh, praise you, Jesus. Counterproductive, isn't it? Help yourself out. Quit complaining. You're not going to help yourself by complaining about everything. We have got to start focusing on the good things. There's good in everybody. Not that they're all exhibiting it right now, but there can be good. Situations. You never know what the situation is going to call for. You know, I told you earlier, I think it's 1 Corinthians 10:13, says God will not allow us to go through things without making a way of escape, be tempted. The improper translation of that, God, how do they try to say, will not let you be tempted beyond what you're able. Carry the rest of that scripture out, please. Without making a way. Now, I know there's some of you in here, you're working out, bodybuilding, lifting weights. Jesse's doing it. He showed us a picture the other day, and I said, boy, you didn't look like that when you were in your football prime. He's been telling us what his bench press is. Is he knocking on 400? Yeah. I was like, dude, that's good. Considering you used to be able to just have to do what your body weight, is that what they always said? If you weighed 100 pounds, you should be able to bench press 100. Or at least three quarters of it or something like that. I don't remember what the ratio was. Yeah, that ain't happening with me anymore, I can tell you right now. First off, I don't see the purpose in bench pressing at my age. But how do all these people who are lifting heavier weights, how do you move on? You increase. Because he told us a couple of times, he said, yeah, I tried this weight. He said, I started, and he's like, nope, that's not happening. And so he cut the weight back. Still has a goal, but he tried something harder. And if you can do it, then you've got it. But if you want to go on, you've got to keep increasing the weight. You've got to keep increasing the pressure. When I ran a lot, I wasn't just running just to keep in general condition. There was a goal I had. Unfortunately, it wasn't big enough of a burn for me to continue because I'm like, I still got a first-class PFT. I don't care. And I can run a marathon at the pace that I have because we did it. But I would try to increase. I called my uncle, who's a college football coach who had several track teams in the relay race, who tried out for the Olympics and was only disqualified because somebody jumped. But they would have probably won gold. They were that good. And I said, "How, Uncle Harry, how do I do this?" He said, "If you want to shorten your time," he said, "in between on your runs, find your telephone poles and sprint between them. Give yourself a little bit of break and then do it again." Yeah, I could do it. Just didn't care to, so. But I had to, he told me, he said, "You've got to increase something. You've got to increase that speed during your run. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? No, it's either good or it's bad. That's it. We need to watch what's coming out of our mouth. We can't complain and then turn around and bless God and think, "Oh, well, God's going to bless me." It's not happening. Because blessing and cursing shouldn't come out of the same mouth. You can't bless God and then whine about somebody else and tell them what a piece of garbage they are. If they bother you, if they rub you the wrong way, for all I know, I probably rub you the wrong way. That's fine. That's my job. It's to make you think. To aggravate you a little bit. You know that piece of sand that gets in a oyster? Aggravates it. And it keeps aggravating it. And it just keeps aggravating that, but it can't get rid of that piece of sand. You know what that comes out of. Eventually you open it up, and if you've ever bit one while eating oysters, you'll know what I'm talking about. And pearls are hard. It creates a pearl, something of beauty. But it was because of an irritant. They got stuck. If you're going through things, don't complain about them. The second you start complaining, God can't work through your complaining. Just like yesterday, I was getting a little frustrated. It's like, man, I don't want to go back to Marion just to buy this flexible. I needed the piece this big. That's all, and I don't have any at home. And I don't know of anybody that sells that particular piece of stuff around here. Or the good fittings. So I was going to have to go back to Marion yesterday. And I did not complain about it. I was frustrated. Had hurt my fingers. But then the Holy Spirit showed me how to fix the problem. And I quickly gave him the praise for it. Because I didn't see it. Even though it was right there in front of me. So if you will watch what's coming out of your mouth, cursing shouldn't be coming out of it. Somebody's rubbing you the wrong way, somebody bothers you, pray for them. I don't think I've ever said, go find them and beat them up. Even though that's what you want to do, it doesn't work. You need to pray for them. By the way, you know, when my ex-brother-in-law, he jumped my dad. And I got between them. We all ended up on the floor. I got kicked in the face. I returned the kick somewhere else. Surprised he had any more kids. But I was so angry. But you need to understand something. If I'd have kept letting my anger get hold of me and control me, he was 6'3", 285 pounds. And he wasn't fat at that point. He was muscular. He had to eat my lunch. That's all I can say about that. In a one-on-one fight, if we were going to fight by Queensberry rules, which no Marine does, by the way. But you need to understand, if I hadn't been listening to the Holy Spirit that night, I would have been in prison. because I had just sharpened a combat knife and was taking it with me in anticipation. I was prepared to kill him that day. So when you say, I don't think I can do that, somebody beats up your sister, talk to me then. Consider my sister's littler than me. Mouthy. But if I had not listened to the Holy Spirit, he said, you do not need that. Leave it. I could shave the hair on my arms. I'm here to tell you, folks, listening to the Holy Spirit will save your life. And then I learned, and I had to deal with my anger for a while, and I quit talking about him. And I started praying about for him, not praying about him. You know what? You don't pray about people, you pray for them. If it's something you see, pray. But then start being quick to watch how God's changing them. If all you're ever focusing on was how bad they were, you'll never see where they've come. Not everybody grows in leaps and bounds. Some people, it's a slow burn. But it's a burn. All right, let's stand. God's not done with you yet. God's not done with those people that irritate you yet. And it's never too late until that trumpet blows. Or we're at your memorial service. Then it's too late. The Bible tells us to pray for those who spitefully use us. Pray for them. Ask God to do something about it. And if there's anything you need to do about it, if, sometimes there's not, just pray for the situation. All right? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your word. Father, we thank you for the Apostle Paul and all the writers of Proverbs who talked and our brother James about controlling our tongues, that we should give thanks in these things, not thanking you that we just befell, garbage came our way, but thanking you that through that garbage, we will see a victory. So Lord, I thank you that you're helping each and every believer in here. At the sound of my voice, those who watched at home, Lord, I thank you that this word is going forward. They are grabbing this word and they're speaking life into their situations. They're holding on. And they're giving you the praise. And they're praying about the things that cannot be changed. Lord, I know from experience that you will hold us. You will not let us go through it all. And you will not let us fall if we will be obedient. And now, Father, I thank you for these people. Lord God, bless their lives. Father, I pray that you continue to heal people who are under the weather. Father, sickness has attacked their bodies. Lord, I thank you for the reports, for things that are happening in people's lives, for revelation of your word in Jesus' name. Amen.